All right. When I listen to music like this, I remember I used to listen to this shit all the time. I put up a post the other day and I was using Tupac, and I remember putting it up and going, like, watching my little brothers or just, I don't know. It's almost like I have to think about, everyone who's, like, listens to this, you know, my buddies and everything, like, you remember listening to this music and just, not this exact music, but, like, older, like, I guess late, I don't know, early, late 90s, early 2000s, I guess you can call it gangster rap, you know, no illusions, we knew we weren't gangsters, but the music was good. This was good music. So I was, this is like the third attempt at trying to do this podcast. I'm finally here in the morning, Thursday, Christmas Eve, 23rd? What the hell date is it today? It doesn't matter, but yeah, 23rd. The last podcast I did was I dropped it on Wednesday, I think mid-morning. On Wednesday, I went to my physical therapy appointment, and when I came out, I got the phone call. Karen was being induced because she had gone to a... they had originally decided to induce her on the 21st, which was going to be 10 days early. So, you know, no big deal. They just decided that was going to be the day that they wanted to do it, just due to conditions and... whatnot, so that would have been 2 days ago, but instead it was about a week early, and she had gone to a doctor's appointment, and they had seen high blood pressure, which was kind of on and off, not really a big deal, didn't concern us a whole lot, but they said, you have high blood pressure, why don't we go ahead and do this now, where we can control it and make sure that, you know, we're kind of like almost 100, if you could be 100% confident in being able to control something, they were, you know, like, hey, we could definitely control it now. If it gets too bad later, we're going to, we might not be able to control it. So let's do this now. So I'm coming out of my physical therapy appointment, and she calls me and says, you might want to get down here. And, it, you know, obviously, as soon as she said that, I was like, oh, shit, this is starting to become real. So I grabbed all, I ran home just completely in a fog. Didn't know what to do. Not a whole lot of our stuff was ready. You know, there's dishes in the sink, and didn't have a sitter for Kona. Thank you, Kyle. And I will give shout outs here in a second, because this was so much more smooth with the help of family and friends. And you just, after stuff like that, you just realized how blessed. I mean, I count my blessings every day. I really do try to never take anything for granted. But when it shows up like that, it's, you're extra appreciative. So I'll have to thank Kyle in person, because he doesn't listen to the podcast. But we will say that every episode, Kyle does not listen to the podcast. Yeah, at one time used to be semi co-host of the show. Doesn't even listen to the show anymore. You would have think we had like fell out or something. But anyways, whatever. I didn't want to get into the shoutouts first, but I guess now that we're here. I'll just finish the story real quick. So I get home, you know, no sitter for Kona. Nobody knows that this is going to happen. The in-laws are supposed to be up, but not for a couple of days. And with the weather coming in, going in through Truckee, it was Truckee's just been getting pounded with feet of snow every other day. Sometimes back-to-back days, day and night, just snow. So the pass was going to be really hard. So they were going to come a couple days before the 21st and make sure they were here to beat the storm and whatnot. So you know, they weren't due to be up here. Kona's not nobody to watch Kona, and that's kind of, you know, that was kind of a risk we were taking in moving up here and not having so much bad. I know I could pick up the phone, call in front of the show. I mean, I wouldn't expect you to come over here and grab my kid or something, but I know if I needed something, there's plenty of people I can probably call and maybe get a little help, and which was found really, really quickly up here, and I'm really appreciative of those new friends. So shout out to you guys too. The boys, you know who I'm talking about. So I grabbed all the stuff, and we had a bunch of stuff packed up. So we had, you know, overnight bags. I had an overnight bag, a couple days worth of clothes and everything, and you know, baby stuff. Had the feeding pillow and bottles and all, you know, just everything you would take with you in a situation like this, which the hospital provides a lot of that too. So but we just wanted to make sure we were covered. So we get down there, and she, you know, is in the gown and in the hospital room, and we're just okay, I guess. And, you know, we just kind of looked at each other like, it's, you know, all right, like, not, you know, I was a little nervous. Karen's a trooper, wasn't very at least wasn't showing it too much. So they get to it. They start inducing her that evening. I think I got down there about 4:30, 5 o'clock. So they induce her. Not a whole lot happened in the first night. She starts having contraction. I can't remember exactly what happened. It was just 3-4 days of like an hour or two of sleep a night. Period. No normal regular feeding process for me or Karen. She couldn't eat while the whole thing was going on, so the poor thing was starving. You know, I'm sitting here complaining. I couldn't sleep, and when I did, at least I wasn't having contractions in the middle of it. So don't listen to this and feel like I'm saying woe is me. It's obviously the brunt of the work was done by the mama. So anyways, it turned into about 32 hours of labor, 32 hours of labor, and then the doctor came in and said, you know what, we're getting to the point where we're just, you're not progressing as you know, you give it all the time in the world, and I'm sure sooner or later it would happen, but they're like, this is getting to a point where we're just going to need to go in there and get it, and, you know, Karen's just like, okay, all right, you know, like, you just, I don't know, I hear all these stories of people like doing this and that, and how disappointed she was. She had to have a C-section, and this didn't go our way, or that didn't go our way, or, you know, emotions pouring out, and, you know, whatever. And I couldn't have asked for a better situation with Karen. She was just the best. I couldn't believe what I was watching her do. It was unbelievable. And I know that's really cliche, like, oh, what a troop, you know, like, it's cliche to kind of give your wife props like that, but it truly was just out of this world. I couldn't believe what I was watching, the amount of pain that she was in, and the character she still had while she was doing it. And, she's just born with character, has character. The character was never lost, is what I'm saying. It wasn't like amplified or anything like that. It just didn't go away. So, you know, a little light humor here and there, and couple of squeezes, and the kid came out. So they come in, and I could tell they were gonna say, you know, we're gonna have to induce you. But they were like, they're expecting, you know, a crying fest or a disappointment, you know, like, oh, shit, like, we did all that, now we have to just, you know, could have done this as soon as we walked in, really. So they break it to us, and I could tell all the, you know, there's two nurses in the room, the doctor telling her, you know, we're gonna have to go ahead and get this going, and Karen just looks at him and goes, okay, like, well, let's fucking go, like, let's just make this end. So we went in, got me scrubbed up, and got her going, and that was an experience. I don't know if anyone listening to this has ever done an induction of birth before, but a C-section. So we go into the operating room. They put up a tarp, so Karen's wide awake while it's happening, and she looks like she's getting jerked around all over the place. And I'm sitting there trying to, you know, I mean, no sleep, right? Like, just completely. I feel like I remember it all, but I feel like I was like, I just didn't have any emotion towards anything. Like, I wasn't happy or excited or nervous or mad or anything. I was just sitting there like, just going through the just. Living minute to minute, didn't really have any I guess no pre-notion. I don't know, it's something, and I guess I kind of knew this going into it. Who knows what's gonna happen, you know? I've never done this before. I've never even seen it before. I've never been near it before, so didn't really know what to expect. And but I guess we can start getting into the shout-outs. Now, the staff and the doctors at Renown and Mills are unfucking believable. Those people are the sweetest, most caring, great teamwork, just unbelievable experience. I mean, obviously it's hard, you know, childbirth, especially the way we had to do it. I say we. the way Karen had to do it, and it was just like, can you imagine like a nurse walking in with an attitude problem or something? Like, obviously now that I think about it, it'd be a little ridiculous if these people didn't like their job or like brought their life into their work or something like that. But they didn't, none of them did. It was really, really great, experience there, as best as all that can be. Leading up to the doctor was like, that one of the pre, requests was that I revealed the gender. Cause everyone who knows we waited to find out the gender. So we, now we're going into the C-section room, and the last thing on my mind is, do I still get to, call the gender out? I just kind of figured that was gone. And the doctor's kind of working. He lifts his head up over the tarp, and he looks at us, and he goes, "All right, Corey, it's getting close to time. Are you about ready?" And I go, "Ready for what?" And he goes, "You're going to reveal the gender." And I go, "Like still?" And he goes, "Yeah, absolutely." He goes, "I swear to God, nobody's going to know the gender until you do. I'm not even going to know the gender." I'm like, this is going to be like something. Like, how are you going to do that? So, but he did it. I see him disappear back behind the tarp, and then he goes, "Okay, here we go." And I stand up, and he stands up with the baby, with his head away. So the doctor's head away, and holding the baby up above his shoulders, pointed towards me, is his little ass in his nutsack. And pointing towards me, and he's covered in blood. He's looked like a fucking avatar. Like, he was all blue, umbilical cord still hanging on. And I was just like, I kind of was like, oh, like, I just didn't, I don't know what to expect. I don't know who goes into this knowing what to expect. I had no idea what I was going to see. And that was definitely not, that was on the list of things I didn't know I was going to see. So if that makes any sense. So I got to declare the gender, and that was something. I didn't know how he was going to pull it off, but he pulled it off, and it was amazing. So I got to do it. So they get the kid out and get the old lady all stapled up and put back together, cleaning up the kid, and I got a picture of Karen still on the table and me holding the kid with just a big old smile on my face. And I'm very, if you listen to the show enough, I'm pretty anti-mask, and I don't really like to play that shit anymore. But we're in an operating room, so we have masks on. At the appropriate time, obviously, we're gonna do it. And so from there we go into recovery, and still just kind of in surreal lands, just kind of. I don't know. It was kind of weird. I don't think I've ever felt like that before. Like, I know I'm supposed to be really excited and happy, and I was, but it was just very dull. I wasn't too excited about anything. I was just, and it wasn't that I was like disappointed by any means. I was just like, yeah, this is happening. And I guess dads who have gone through extensive labor times with the mothers can relate a little bit. I mean, all I'm saying is I can't speak to exactly what was going on in Karen's mind. I can tell you how I felt about it, and I'm not trying to say I was going through anything more difficult or anything like that, but this is my experience from it. Karen can start her own podcast and tell you what she went through. So I get into recovery, and another team of nurses come in there, and they're great. And so then we go up into postpartum, and we're up there pretty quick. I think he was born at 5:16 in the morning, and 5:16 in the morning, and we are in the postpartum by I think about 8 o'clock, like 7:30, 8 o'clock. It might have been 7:30. I think about 7 o'clock, because they were like, we're not going to move you till like 8 or 9 or something like that. And then at 7 o'clock, she's like, "We're going to get you going." We're like, "Okay, great." So, because, it's pretty uncomfortable that, you don't want to stay there for more than a couple hours. It's just not, Karen's in a bed, can't feel her legs. I'm, just kind of walking around. My mother-in-law was in there too. And, so once they move us up into postpartum, we got up there and started, I guess, started the process, started, you know, doing all the checks on them and everything. And that was a very long 3 days. We went in on Friday morning, Thursday morning, Thursday, Friday, Friday morning. Cause they were like, you could be up here 2 to 3 days. So, okay, no, you know, no problem. Don't even really think about how that's going to go on. And, but by day two, we're ready to go. We don't want to be there anymore. It's starting to wear thin. You know, doctors coming in every couple of hours. So it's like, once you get like the kid finally sleeping and eating, and he's hanging out and kind of getting used to us, the door kicks open and none of the nurses coming in to check this or check that, or keep an eye on Karen, because, you know, she was we were there early because of the high blood pressure, and she had tested a couple times for high blood pressure again while we were in there. So so you keep an eye on that, keep an eye on the kid, obviously. 5 pounds, 12 ounces. He's a little guy. But I guess you lose a significant amount of weight after they're born. So I think he got down to like 5'7". 5'7", 5'8", something like that. He lost a few ounces. But now he's back up. We had him checked yesterday. He's back up to his birth, just about 5'11". And he was born at 5'12". So he's right there, and they're saying how healthy he is and how good he looks. The only thing he had was a tongue tie, which was taken care of yesterday. If you ever have a kid and you have to take care of tongue tie, it sounds really brutal, because his tongue is like connected all the way to the front of his tongue, so you can't lift his tongue up. It's tied down, I guess that's why they call it tongue tie. So they got to go in there and snip the skin under it to allow his tongue to move around freely. And it sounds really bad. We went in and did it yesterday, and it was like, he cried a little bit, but it was because the fingers like were poking around on his mouth, and there was a light in his eyes. After the fingers were out of his mouth, he stopped crying. So he didn't, I guess it wasn't very painful. I don't know. It looked super painful. We were gearing up for oh shit, this is going to suck. But it didn't. It was fine. So that was the only thing that was questionably wrong with him, I guess. Everything else, he's a healthy guy, and is doing great. has, you know, still tried us. You know, we don't get a whole lot of sleep. You know, bless Karen, she lets me sleep in the nighttime. I try to take care of the kid during the day as best I can, but without the mama bear around, he can't eat. So he's essential, an essential worker. So this is where we're at. He is just over a week old, and we're just moving along. And it's funny, because you think, like, you know, when you find out you're pregnant, and you know, okay, we got 9 months, it's like the 9 months goes by right now. You know, you look, I don't know, time is so weird, because you look back at it and you're just like, man, did we even like look around? I try to pause myself and look around and appreciate it and try to slow time down as best I can, because I want to appreciate everything I'm around. And maybe I spend a little bit too much time trying to like consciously make myself appreciate what's happening. And it's not like I have to make myself appreciate it. It's that I want to acknowledge that I'm appreciating it, I guess. So, but anyways, So the 9 months just seemed to, for me, it just seemed to go by pretty quick. And then when we're headed to the hospital and they're, you know, 30 hours later, you're like, oh my gosh, this is taking forever. And then 3 days in postpartum, it's like, holy shit, we were going crazy. Karen was like at the end of a rope, like, we have to go. We have to get out of here. This is like, we want to go home. Haven't been home in, you know, 5 days. And, you know, when you're not home for 5 days and you go through something like that, you're not in your own bed. It's a test. But you look back on it and it's like, wow, in the blink of an eye, it's all changed. So the next time I do a podcast, it'll probably be 3, and we'll be talking about his last birthday or something. So I just, you know, it just seems to go by so quickly. No matter how hard you try, time just keeps that steady, relentless pace. So I'm trying to look around and appreciate it, because he's just a little guy right now, and I'm just trying to appreciate it. You know, I don't want to forget it. I want to remember it. So that's another good reason about this, you know, doing these podcasts. You know, I could probably have the same psychological effect for myself if I never even released these and just kept them to myself. knowing that this content was still there if I ever wanted to listen to it again. And I've talked about this in the podcast before. But it's nice. I was listening to, I guess he's an uncle now, Uncle Phil. I was listening to Uncle Phil's, he just started a podcast with a band member talking about their days in the band. And I'm sitting there listening to it, and they're reminiscing about the stuff and about their situations that they were in and all the fun adventures that they had as a band together and how they became friends and didn't even know each other before. So I'm sitting there listening to it, and I'm like, man, I hope they do this, you know, every day so that we can just at any time turn on Uncle Phil and listen to him. And, you know, it's just nice. It's nice. It's a nice, it's almost like a blanket, like a security blanket. Like no matter what happens, we're always going to have this content that's created. I can always turn Phil on and listen to him. I can always go back to this and remember what I was feeling at that time. Or, I don't know, I guess just a virtual journal. And I know I've talked about this before. it's fun. It's fun. So I'm trying to find time to come in here and do this podcast and kind of lay it all out for you, because, you know, everybody's got questions and wants to know how we're doing and stuff. And it's a good way to get more podcast member listens. No, I'm just kidding. But no, it's I know that there's a lot of people out there that would like updates, and I, you know, it's just, oh, I wonder how they're doing. It's not like they're like, you know, chomping at the bit calling us or anything, but I'm sure people are going to turn this on and go, oh, that's how he's doing. That's how they're doing. That's how that went. That's his name. That's how much he weighed. Oh, that's nice. You know, and it's, so I'm listening to Phil's podcast, and I'm sitting there by the kid. He just ate, and, I'm listening to his podcast, and I'm like, it inspired me to get up and come in here and just do this real quick. You got a little bit of time. Karen's awake and the baby's sleeping. He just ate, got 2 hours and 10 minutes until he eats again. He's a monster. He eats like a maniac, great appetite. So I was like, all right, I got to go in there and get this done, and then just put this out there so people can kind of listen to it and get an idea where we're at. So, you know, that's where we're at. And it's December 23rd, too, so we're 2 days before Christmas, and it's raining like a motherfucker out here right now. I wish it was snow. Wish we could just have snow, because we got pretty much everything we need. We just hunker down in the house, enjoy each other. I'm off for the next couple weeks, which is kind of blended into my knee injury. So hopefully by the time I'm ready to go back to work, my knee's 100%, and we can just get going with this and start that money train again. I haven't been to work, and I haven't done my normal job in shit a couple of months now, so I miss it. But it's nice. It's nice to take the time off and be able to spend time, you know, like I said, I don't want to forget this. I want to be around for it. And I want to remember it. I know I'm going to be around for it. I just want to remember it and, be able to go through that Rolodex of a memory we got and, pull up memories of stuff like this. And I think this podcast is really going to help. I can always go back to this and listen to it and remember what I was feeling in the days we were at. And, I'm already, yeah, thinking ahead. So that's good. Good idea. So anyways, we're 2 days away from Christmas. And it's funny because and I may have said this before too, but last year on Christmas, well, I'm sitting there and it's just Karen and I, and we're, got a couple of presents and some coffee, and the dog's playing with her toys, 'cause we give the dog an unprecedented amount of toys every Christmas, because it's hilarious to watch her rip them open, and she's like a little kid. You know, every time she opens up gifts, she's like a little kid. And actually, anytime we get like an Amazon package or anything like that, we pull it in, she's like, oh, is it Christmas time again? And she wants to help us open it. And so we get her a bunch of toys all the time. So we're just sitting there and she's going through her toys and playing with her new stuff, and Karen and I are just kind of hanging out. And I was like, you know, it's awfully quiet around here. And I just, you know, grew up in a loud household, so I kind of missed having, I guess, more people around, you know. So that's where I got the first idea that I was like, you know what, maybe I do want kids. Maybe we should consider this. And here we are, less than a year later, we got it done, and the kid's here, and so I'm going to have my next, and I got my wish, my next Christmas, we have a little kid with us, and it's only going to get better from here, because I can't wait. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited to be a father. These are all emotions that I wasn't really feeling before. I didn't have any thoughts of like, all right, well, what am I going to do in this situation? What am I going to do in that situation? How am I going to feel about this? Am I really going to like this so much? I hope I don't have any regrets. You know, I hope those are natural thoughts, because those are all thoughts that I'm having or had. You know, oh shit, is this going to work out all right? Is this just changed my life for the worse? And no, not a chance. This is just flipped the script into something I couldn't imagine. I hear a lot of people say, like, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of this. I'm proud of that. I'm proud of my wife, which I am. I'm very proud of my wife. But there's only, like, one person that I kind of look at and, like, you know, just for being you, I'm proud of you. And it's like, as soon as I look at this guy, I'm just like, I'm proud of this guy. Like, I have a lot of pride when I look at him, which is kind of, I don't know, you take the meaning pride and what it means, and it, you know, how it's earned and what, for different reasons why we have that feeling. And I've never had just a kid or anybody, another soul, just show up out of thin air, and I'm just like, wow, I'm proud of this guy. And I am. I'm 100% proud of him. I can't wait to see what he grows into. It's an exciting time. I guess that's it for now. We can end it on that. So if anyone has any questions, or we're still trying to take it easy on visitors right now. We got the in-laws in town helping us out with everything, which is very nice, because it's, you know, definitely gives Karen and I more Karen, because I'm not, I like to think I'm doing a lot, but I don't know if I am. Just kind of, you know, I'm the driver and the baby carrier. So when we're going somewhere, I had to do the doctors or something like that, I'll grab the kid and take him along. And I guess I am useful, but yeah, the kid doesn't do very well if he's not being fed, and that's 100% the mama's situation. So I guess we'll end it on that. Merry Christmas, everybody, and thank you for all the support that we got going on here. And I love you guys very much. Thank you very much, and we'll talk soon. Here we go. It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on time is tricky. It's tricky, 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 tricky. It's tricky to rock around, that's right, on time is tricky. Tricky, tricky, tricky. I met this little girlie, her hair was kinda curly. Went to her house and bust her out, I had to leave real early. These girls are really sleazy, all they just say is please me. Or spend some time and rock a rhyme, I said it's not that easy. It's tricky to rock a